Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how well do you know the Christmas story? I'm told that only 1 in 8 adults and 1 in 14 children have a good grasp of the facts. Now, people are so concerned that last year the Church Advertising Network ran a competition with a prize of £500 for the best retelling of the Christmas story in under 30 seconds. And the winning entry went on YouTube. So how well do you remember those events of 2,000 years ago? Was it in the bleak midwinter? Was the countryside around Bethlehem covered in snow? Were the shepherds disturbed by a choir of angels? Were they told to find the baby in a stable? Did they bring a lamb for a present? And while they were there, was there a sort of knock at the door, and in walked 3 kings? And did a star stop directly over the stable? What do you think? Now, all those details have become part of the Christmas story, but none of them is true. They're not in the Bible, which is the true record of what happened. Well, does it really matter? Well, it's chicken and egg, isn't it? If you're not clear what it's all about, you're unlikely to think it really matters. So who is this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger? And of course, babies grow up. So who is this Jesus? Well, let's find out. No one was ever expected like Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, that's the first 39 books of the Bible, we find a biography of Jesus in print centuries before he came, detailing his ancestry, his birthplace, the circumstances surrounding his birth, and much, much more. In fact, there are over 300 prophecies, 300 predictions fulfilled by this child. It's like a photo fit completed 400 years before he came. A picture so accurate that when Jesus walks into the room, he's instantly recognizable. And no one has ever spoken like Jesus. When was the last time you were astonished by something someone said? Well, when Jesus preached, we read the people were astonished. They couldn't believe it. They'd never heard anything like it before. They were astonished at his teaching. Have you ever read what he said? He spoke with a matchless wisdom and authority. One day his enemies sent soldiers to arrest him. And they came back empty-handed. Well, where is he? And all they could say is, no one has ever spoken like this man. And no one has ever lived like Jesus. The baby grew up to become not the weak, pathetic Jesus of pop religion, but he grew up to become a real man with eyes that engaged, a face that smiled, strong arms that reached out to do good. A real man who exposed the hypocrisy of the religious classes. And though he himself was without sin, he embraced sinners with open arms. You've never met anyone like Jesus. He's so real, so good, so credible, so human. And when you find him, you don't want to change him, because you know your search is over. And no one's ever made claims like Jesus. Remember what the angel said? For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And Christ the Lord is a divine title. Jesus claimed the big one. Now Muhammad Ali was boxing champion of the world. He said, I am the greatest. But Jesus claims dwarf all other claims. He claimed that he is God. Not just a God, he claimed to be the God to the exclusion of all other gods. He forgave sins, he received worship, he raised the dead with a word. He said that he would be the judge of us all, and that heaven and hell are in his hands. And he promised eternal life, not just existence, but life to all who believe in him. One day Jesus rebuked a storm. He said to the wind, he said to the waves, "Be quiet." And the wind stopped, and the sea became calm, and all was hushed into silence. One day, the actress Shirley MacLaine stood on the shore of the Pacific Ocean, shouting, "I am God! I am God!" Do we believe in Shirley? Could you believe in Jesus? And no one's ever died like Jesus. Now, whose Wikipedia entry begins like this? "He was an American musician, dancer, and entertainer. Referred to as the King of Pop, he is the most commercially successful and one of the most influential entertainers of all time." So who is he? You all know, don't you? Or maybe you don't. But who is he? Michael Jackson, who died this year. But if you read his Wikipedia entry, 465 lines are devoted to his life, and just 18 lines are devoted to his death. It's all about his life. Of course, it'd be very strange, wouldn't it, if it was all about his death? Because the most significant thing about Michael Jackson was his life. But when you read the Gospels of Jesus Christ, the eyewitness accounts, over one third of the space is devoted to his death. Interesting, isn't it? The most significant thing Jesus came to do was to die. He said things like this. He said, "For this purpose, to die, I came into the world. The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected, and killed. And after 6 hours on a cross, bleeding, broken, dying, he says something extraordinary. It is finished." In the original language, it's just one word. He says, "Done." It's a word of triumph, a word of completion. What I came to do, I have done. Finished. And with that, he dismisses his spirit. He chooses the moment of his death and breathes his last. It's as though he's always been in control. No one has ever died like Jesus. And no one's ever come back like Jesus. Dead men don't rise, do they? The lawyer Frank Morrison set out to disprove the resurrection of Jesus. He said, "Well, if I can disprove that, I can disprove the whole story, everything." But as he sifted the evidence, he discovered there could only be one honest conclusion. And that is that Jesus is risen. And he wrote a book, Who Moved the Stone? Have you looked at the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus? Because at the heart of this Jesus, at the heart of this man, is a fact. A well-attested fact. One unique since time began. That this same Jesus who died on a cross rose from the dead on the third day, just as he said he would. And finally, no one's ever changed lives like Jesus. There was a well-known atheist called Charles Bradlaugh. He was the Richard Dawkins of his day. And he challenged a famous preacher, Hugh Price Hughes, to a debate about Christianity. And Hugh said, "Okay, we'll debate it. It'll be a public debate. People will come, they'll listen, they'll weigh up the arguments. But I have one condition. You bring with you 100 people whose lives have been changed for the better by believing there is no God. And I'll bring with me 100 people whose lives have been changed for the better by believing in Jesus Christ. So you bring 100. No? Oh, well, okay, bring 50. Well, just bring 20 people with you. Well, just bring one person whose life has been changed for the better by believing there is no God. And Bradlaugh withdrew his challenge. This is the Jesus who changes lives. And none are more surprised than those whose lives are changed. Their story begins with tears. They meet with Christians through contact with the Bible. Their life becomes invaded by an inescapable sense of God. And they begin to realize that far from being good people, far from loving God with all their hearts and loving their neighbor as themselves, they're actually bad people. They're those who have wronged God, who've gone their own way, who've played where God has forbidden, and that far from going to heaven, they're headed for that other place. And so guilty and unclean and ashamed, they've asked the living God to save them, to change their hearts, to make them new people, to forgive them of the wrongs that they've done. But why should God forgive those who've broken his commands? Why not just punish them? And the answer is because Jesus went to that cross. He was innocent, but he took the place of the guilty. And their offenses against God were put to Jesus' account. So when God came to punish those offenses, it was Jesus who took the blame. And so it is through a crucified Savior they come to enjoy peace with God, a new beginning, the promise of heaven. What did the angel say to Joseph? She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is the Jesus who changes lives. Those who come to him, he saves. They can never be the same again. And they haven't found religion. They'll tell you they found the real thing. They found God. They found Jesus Christ. Have you? Have you found this Jesus? No one has ever changed lives or goes on changing lives like him. So who is this Jesus? There's no one like him, is there? You've never heard or met anyone like this Jesus. No wonder one of the names that's given to him in the Bible is Wonderful. You see, it's a bigger story than just a baby in a manger. Today, what if Jesus had never come? No Bethlehem, no manger, no shepherds, men, no carols, no mince pies, no Christmas pudding, no turkey. Is that all? If Jesus had never come, no promise of the coming one, no astonishing words, no extraordinary life, no Emmanuel, God with us, no death on the cross to save the guilty, no empty tomb, no peace with God, no new beginning, no promise of heaven, no John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. No good news, no hope for a dying world, no hope for you and me. Only the certainty of the grave, an everlasting ruin, if Jesus had never come. No wonder the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.